I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I'm forgiven. You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you when all I do. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and arose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you and all I do. I honor you.
It's a good thing the Lord give us this assignment, otherwise we won't make it. If it wasn't for, you know, he give us this program just to keep our limbs all trimmed and burned and keep us spiritual awake, spiritual life. If it wasn't for you and I doing what we're doing, because we're hemmed in on all sides, because God has given us a mandate to hold on to the fort and do what we're doing, and believe you me, the devil knows that we're right. He knows where we're at. He knows exactly what we're doing. He knows that if it wasn't for you and I, there would be nothing left in this world. Mm-hmm. So we've been attacked on every side. And if it wasn't for this mandate, that this assignment that the Lord, a few years back, he just one day just woke me up and he let me know, you're not going to make it. You got to have a program. You got to get up in the morning and you got to pray in the day. And then you got to see some of these old songs. See, these old songs, they were written when back in on the main beast. A lot of people don't know what the main beast is, but back the 1500s, the church living in, they were under control by the main beast. Here it is. Yeah. We're right now in the Eagle Age. And back then, these people had tremendous wisdom, mm-hmm. spiritual insight, and to think. But today, we're living in a gray area. There's nothing out here anymore that has a... It's a gray area. It's lukewarm. The whole worldly atmosphere is lukewarm, compromisers and everything. But see, the Lord gave me that assignment to me personally. Don't people think we're crazy. I'm not going to get up in the morning. It's not the natural man doesn't want to do that. But when the Lord moves on you to do that, it's for your own benefit. And then what he did, he woke me up and he told me to get... You're not going to make it without this. So what we do, we get up around 5, and then we pray in the day. But first thing I do, I go on my phone here. I got this program on my phone here. It's called Bible Gateway. See, it's something to keep me in line. I get first thing I do. I read 2-3 chapters on my Bible Gateway program. It gives you 2-3 chapters from the Old Testament and a chapter from the New Testament. So throughout the year, you read the Bible through it. It's not normal for a normal person to read the Bible. But see, when I follow a program, you know what I'm trying to say? If you have something to gauge yourself, the whole world is put together with law and order and with things to gauge, like when you drive on the road, there's a stop sign and there's a yield sign, and everything is engineered for some kind of a program. And see, you and I, it was not that I decided that's what I'm going to do. It's just the Lord saw that we're not going to make it without doing this very thing. Because, like I say, we're hemmed in on every side. And the devil, he knows we got it. And he does not want people to know that we got it. He wants to continue with the badness, send them down to hell and death, and bring in confusion and all. You know how the devil works. But see, we got to have something to keep us in line with. And that's what the first thing I do when I get up. I check that. I wonder what verse it is today. But today, the verse was, the verse that was exactly what it says here on my Bible Gateway program. And then we pray in the day. And then we sing these songs. And then we have a conversation. And if it wasn't for that, we would have nothing. We would do like, we would just be like a piece of driftwood. If you know what I'm trying to say, you need something in this hour to keep you stabilized. Because if we just go along with the trend, we just become a driftwood. Just that simple. It's not in the human nature of a man. He's not really self-motivated. So you got to have something in kind of a program to motivate him. And now if everybody did that throughout the world, look what a wonderful world we're living in. We're just following the pattern that the Lord has given us to do. And then if you want to be blessed, and if you want your children to be blessed, and if you want a blessing throughout the day, if you want to be protected from all the atrocities that's out there today, then you got to put in some effort. You can't just be a piece of driftwood. You got to put in some shoulders to the wheel and do something. And if you're just a piece of driftwood, then calamity comes and diseases and all kinds of these things comes on you, and you wonder why it's happening. Because it's simply because you didn't do your part. Just that simple. And I can't express it enough how grateful I am that the Lord took time out to direct us down that path. If you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, the natural man, he doesn't want to do that. The natural man wants to sleep till about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. But to me, the biggest joy of my life is to get up in the morning and spend time with the Lord. After a while, it's custom, you know what I'm saying? And then the fact that the Lord put us together, and you have even more of a desire to do this very thing. And then I remember mentioning it to you. I said, Lord, we know we should get up in the morning and sing some songs. And you were right in it. You couldn't, like, almost like you're saying, well, it's about time, you know? And see, you don't have to, you're not a drag along. You're just kind of always one step ahead of me or right beside me when we come up with something, and we're a unit. And the Lord knew that before the foundation of the world, that's what we're going to need each other to make it. It's just that simple. What people think what this is about, that's their problem, not ours. Life is a few days of trouble, wise men once said. But I'll not complain, for I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. Many's the trial my wants and my dreams put me through. And the only real peace that I have, there, Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you and I know I do. Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The higher I soar in my dream, the harder I fall. And sometimes I wonder if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments won't keep me blinded and blue. Not when I'm reminded of that sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The higher I soar in my dream, the harder I fall. And sometimes I wonder if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments would keep me blinded and blue. Not when I'm reminded of that sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you and I know I do. Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
That's the long and the short of it, you know, this program. You and I have. It only works for people that have a hunger and a thirst. That's exactly what the Bible says, whoever the thirst. This is not our program. It's a program that the Lord put out here for people that have a concern about their eternal destiny, that they're concerned about their family members. See, we're going to, it doesn't look too good right now for you. I can't even visit with my children. We're not on the same page. But it's at the end of the day, and at the end of the day, it's going to work out. You're going to spend eternity with your mom, and your dad, and with your family members. It's just the way the Lord set it up, because you're doing everything you know to do to walk in that perfect will. That's what you and I are doing. We're doing everything we know to do. We would do a lot more, but not much more you can do, because work while it is, for soon the night cometh when no man can work, because people are not interested. They're just like a drift. They're not self-motivated. Don't try to put the law down on people. The Lord voluntarily, I was obedient to that heavenly voice, just like the Apostle Paul. He was not disobedient to that heavenly voice. God had a work for the Apostle Paul back in the day, and then he went out and did it. That's all we're doing. We're just doing this thing for whoever has a concern
about their eternal destiny and about their children and about the final chapter, because it's the end of the day that counts. Somehow the Lord's going to put it together. But in the meantime, we're just doing whatever the Lord wants us to do. We gladly do it, because if it wasn't for that, we couldn't make it. We're concerned about our eternal destiny. All my life, I wanted to know some things. There's some things in the Bible I didn't understand. I would read the Bible over and over, and there's a lot of things that I didn't understand, and the Lord knew that. And what he did, he brought me to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, and that's what's safe today, you know. And then he opened up the scriptures to me. And then as time went on, he made sure that you and I get together, because he knew you had the same desire and the same passion. You also wanted to know this great God and this Bible. And then as time went on, you wanted somebody to fellowship with. Well, I wanted somebody to fellowship with you with too. And then the Lord brought this thing together, and here we are doing exactly what the Lord wants us to do. And we're doing that. There's people out there. They also have a concern. There's people, there's multitudes of people around the world. And the Lord just simply one day, he woke me up 5 o'clock in the morning saying, why don't you start up this website? And then you don't even have to advertise. If there's somebody out there that has a hunger, it's for people that are concerned about their eternal destiny. It's the people that concern about their family members. Believe you me, if you get hooked into this program, because that's the only thing that's left here in this closing days of time, believe you me, you're going to enjoy eternity with your family members, with your siblings, with your children, with your whole family structure. God's going to make it happen. If only you can get to a place where you can want to do what's right before the Lord. It's just that simple. That's all. That's the only crime we committed. We had a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And then how do I think they didn't do it for us? It's corruption. It's run by Satan. See, Satan has hijacked every aspect of society. He's hijacked Christianity, and all that in these cults are, they're only a form of godliness, and when you're done with it, it just keeps you empty. And there's nothing there. You know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And we're about the Lord's business. That's what the Lord sent us up for. That's what we're doing. That's how you get this thing off the ground. If it wasn't for this that program, believe you me, we would be like everybody else in this closing days of time. We'd be just like a driftwood. We do what everybody, you're sucked into this worldliness and into this religiology. And if it wasn't for the Lord from time to time coming by our way, poke us in the ribs, say, come on, let's get going. You got to do this, you got to do that. Or he doesn't even tell you, he just suggests it for your own benefit, if you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. That's what this program is about. We're not telling people what to do. We're just, if you do this, you will be blessed. You'll have an expected end. It's just that simple. I can't even talk to my children. I can't. Because they're not interested at this point in time. You have to go through the fire. You got to go through a lot of things before you really have a concern and want to be directed of the Lord. It takes a lot to be obedient to the Lord, and that's all we're doing. Every human being that has a brain or a feeling is concerned about their family members and their children. And that's the same with you. But there's nothing that you can do for anybody. It's got to be the Lord has to do it. We can't do nothing. The more we try, I found that time and again, the more they put the brakes on, the more they hate you. So we just go about the Lord's business. We do our thing and let them do their thing. At the end of the day, that's what's going on. I mean, when your mom passed away, you were having a glorious time here. For about a whole week, we couldn't stop rejoicing, because it was the beginning of an eternal pleasure, eternal joy that you're going to spend with your parents, because you sought the Lord all your life, and once you found out what he wants you to do, you surrendered, and you did exactly what the Bible says. You found that exactly what I keep saying about Hosea. Hosea found exactly what he said. This is, if you do your part, if you accept the message for your day,
Then God will remember your family members and your children and all, everything that's connected to you. And you're going to be able to spend eternity with them because of the decisions you made in your life. You made tough choices. When people, every young girl wanted to get married, well, you didn't want to get married. You wanted to know what the Lord Jesus Christ had for you. And that was the same thing. They came and the Lord shut, poked me in the ribs. Let's go, we got some work to do. That's the best thing he could have done for me. And we're about the Lord's business. We don't care what people say, do, or think.
Time after time I was searching for peace in some world. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationship used me until I was done in. And all the while someone was begging to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Never again will I search for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with him is a cup of fresh life. Oh, what I miss, he was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Never again will I search for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with him in a cup of fresh life. Oh, what I miss, he was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time.
There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross.
I have seen them in the watchfire of 100 circling camp. They have built him an altar in the evening dews and dim. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamp. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, His truth is marching on. Yeah, we run into this girl, this ex-Hutterite, some time back. So we make contact with her, and we try to, you know, we try to direct her, let her know what we're about and all that. But see, then I realized that there was really no hunger there. She's a little religious and all that stuff, but we couldn't introduce her to this because I tried, and it backfires, you know. If there's not something built in, if there's not something in the person that you want truth, mm-hmm. It's all about truth. When you want the truth, when we were introduced to truth for our day, that's something I didn't have a problem because it's something I've been looking for all my life. Yeah. I've been searching. It was back in the, about 95, 94, 95, when the Lord brought me to this here truth, and it was something that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And then when it was introduced to me, I just embraced it with a passion. I couldn't get enough of it. And see, what we try sometimes to do, we try to give it to people, but it backfires usually, and they end up turning their back on us and stabbing us in the back because there's really no gut-wrenching hunger. They're not willing to lose their life for the gospel's sake, then it's going to backfire. Because they'll find some kind of fault.
And you know, I'm reminded of what Jesus said, Matthew 24. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. See, that's what these movements out there are all about. Lo, here is Christ. And they all run after something, you know. Mm-hmm. But it says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. See, if you have this hunger in you to know God, and no matter where He leads you, you're going to follow. That's why it never works out. These people are really not hungry for for the things of God. They're running all over trying to find it. They hop to this church, they hop to that church, they hop to this movement because, you know, they're really never serious about it, because if they would be serious, they the Holy Spirit will lead and guide them right directly where we're at, because that's what the Holy Spirit came to do, to lead and guide a person into all truth, if they are hungry for it. But if you're not hungry for it, you're going to run here and there and everywhere.
The Bible says, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. But don't be alarmed. I'm not going to give it to you the way the world gives it to you. And see, but that's why the message that we have, it's not very attractive. People are looking. Everybody's out there searching, but then when they find out what we're about, I want it, but I don't want that. That's not what I'm after. See, they want a quick fix, but see, there's no such a thing as a quick fix. It's we're about the Lord's business, and this thing in this program of somebody that has a hunger and a thirst. If you're anything like you and I, we want to know things. Like I say, I keep reading the Bible, and but there's so many things I didn't understand. And one day I read over in Peter that the Word of God is like, it's a gold mine. If you keep searching and digging, you'll find there's golden nuggets in the Word of God, and that's all I wanted. And I began to search and read and search and search, and one day the Lord, by His grace and mercy,
He brought me to the ministry of Brother Branham. There is nothing in the 20th century here in this church age that we're living in, and the era we're living in, there is nothing outside of the ministry of Brother Branham for the church age of Laodicea. And it's just that simple. You could go look. You could go search the John Hagees. You could go to exactly what you were saying here. You could run from here and you can run there, but you'll not find it. God is very simple. Oh, he put it out there. He got it said to the prophet, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet," and he was that voice of that angel. This is the voice of the angel in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. We're in the last church age. We're just right in front before the coming of the Lord. Just a few more years, and all that Satan's chapter will be over, and Babylon, that whole religious infrastructure, everything that's associated with Satan, with Satan, has been given 6,000 years, and we, by God's grace, we found out exactly where we are in time. See, that's all I ever wanted in life. I wanted to know where we are in time. I wanted to know about the great book, the great book, the Bible, and I wanted somebody to fellowship with. And here the Lord has not only given us all that, he's given us the mandate to put it out there for whosoever will. Just imagine somebody out there searching, and here it's right there, put out just as clear as crystal. See, you don't have to search anymore. We did all the searching. We went from pillar to post. We went through all these religious cesspools out there to look for something. I always knew there's something out there somewhere, but that's why I went to the Pentecost, to the Baptist. All these cesspools out there, they're nothing but weapons of mass deception. And it looks good for a while. The Billy Graham thing looked good for a while, and then the Oral Roberts thing looked good for a while, and then the John Hagee looked good for a while, and the thousands, they flocked to these places. But there's nothing there. There's no eternal life in there. The only place where there's eternal life, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe in them whom I will send. And he sent these seven angels, and we just happened to be in the church here to live to see it. And that angel found the book of Brother Branham, and when he goes off to sea, and he found the book of Brother Jacob. By God's grace, you and I happen to find, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. The only thing that we can attribute it, we had a hunger and a thirst for reality and for truth, and then the Lord saw your need, he saw my need, and he brought us together. Now it's the two of us, by the mount of two or three witnesses, let everything establish. And we just want to continue with, I know for a lot of people, like I said yesterday, the things we say, it's almost like science fiction to a lot of people. See, we've been in this all our life. That's all we ever wanted. And then the Lord has allowed us to see this whole thing out here. We took us back when he had that great council. You can go over in Ephesians 1. Everything that we see is backed up by Scripture, where God, and before the foundation of the world, he had himself a council. And beginning was the thought. And he sat down like any human being does, because we were created in his image and his likeness. And every human being that wants something, like when I kept seeing it over and over, when you bought this property here, you looked it over and you decided you want a fence out there. And then you meditated on it. Eventually you got all the material, and eventually put a fence out there in your garden. And that's the way God is. He sat down and he had himself a council. He counseled with himself way back before the foundation of the world, back in eternity's past, billions and billions of years ago, because he's that great God, that great eternal spirit. He doesn't have a form. He can't describe him. He's a spirit. Mm-hmm. And he had a blueprint. And then when he was done with that blueprint, he saw exactly how many mosquitoes he's going to need, how many drops of water he's going to need, exactly what he's going to need. And then he started putting it into motion, because he knew he's going to need angels to do. What are these angels for? These angels are exactly what the Bible, they are there sent for to assist those people here in these hour we're living in, to assist us, to them that are heirs of salvation.
If it weren't for these angels, you don't see them, but they're out there and they advise us and they advise you. They advise me saying it's time you got up in the morning and then pray in the day. And then they advise me to do this. Then they advise you to do that. You don't see them and they don't force it on you. They just suggested it. And then it went back in the day, like I keep saying, back in the day, he told me to start up this website. And these are these angels. Without them, you couldn't make it because they were tested back in the prehistoric hour so that they will be tested and tried and proved to be faithful. And they're not their own. They're led by the Spirit of the living God, by Jesus Christ and God, that great eternal Spirit, because the Bible backs it up. Everything we say is backed up by Scripture. This is the revelation that God gave to Jesus, and then Jesus, he gives it to the angel, and then that angel transmitted it, and he happened to come by our way one day and kind of spoke us in the ribs. It's time to get up in the morning, begin the day with prayer, do this, suggested. He just suggested it, and we were willing and able and obedient, and then we just followed through with the program. And then he knew, like I say, he keeps saying, he knew I'm not going to make it by myself. And one day the Lord told me to pick you up, because I said, you're not going to make it by yourself. You might as well not even try it, because you're going to run out of gas. You just don't have the goods to do this program by yourself. And that's what we've been on. And so what we're doing, talking about, it's a lot of people, the things we talk about, people are not interested, but there's people out there, they are wondering, there's something like you and I, but they just haven't come to that place yet. They don't know where to go. They try to find it in these religious cults out there. It's not in that other thing. It's not in that Amish thing, but there's people in that Amish religion, they're looking for something. There's people in the Society of Brethren down at Woodcrest, they're looking for something. And there's people in that other church, they're looking for something. And they're just like you and I. But I don't know who they are. That's why the Lord just put it out there. If there's somebody out there that has a hunger and a thirst and for things of God, then I'll bring them to it. It's not a forced thing. It's a voluntary thing. And if you do what we're doing, you're going to have an expected end. Not only that, you're going to have an expected end for your children, and you're going to spend eternity with your family members. God has a way of doing that, because he told Hosea, if you accept my way, then I will remember your children. It's just that simple. And one God remembers it, he makes sure that they are safe and protected, especially in the hour we're now living in. There's nothing out there that you guarantee that disaster won't hit you. There's so many dangers out there. And then you got these terrorists all around us. You got these foreigners coming into this country. But if you put your trust in the Lord and you do your part, the Lord will see to it that they are protected. I don't know how he does it, but he does it because he's faithful to his word. He told over in Nahum, he said, God knows that those that put their trust in him, and there is absolutely no way he'll acquit the wicked. And then he said he'll make a way in the world to protect you if you can only get yourself the place where you put your trust in him. That's why we're talking about that great council that he had, and then he started creating that, and we can tell you exactly where these mountains come from. That's what we're talking about yesterday. Where did these mountains come from? If anybody is out there like you and me, I drove through these mountains because I was trucking, and the first thing, man, there's something out there, a canyon. And then I looked at the formation, the side of the mountain. You know, you see layers of formation. And I said, I know exactly what. As time went on, the Lord began to speak with me through these rocks and these canyons, and I had to find everything I found. I found it in the Scripture, and it's exactly what I found back in the day of Job. And Job, where were you when I created the foundation of the world? And then I saw exactly, it talks about that big bang. There was a big bang, and to try to bring it in today's thing is like the fireworks. You know, there's back before he created that universe, the sons of God shouted for joy, and all the angels were in harmony when he created that universe. That's light. There's lights going every direction, and there was a tremendous explosion.
But see here, when you do your fireworks and you see these they don't know where these particles will end up, but God knew where every particle will end up. And all he did when he created the universe, he had one thing in mind. He had planet Earth in mind and these particles. And then what happened then, in order to create the planet, it was just one little speck. You might even need a microscope to find it. But all he did, and the Lord put me through that school, all he did, he put a touch of gravity in that little thing. It might have only been only as big as a baseball or something like that. But see, what happened is, he put gravity in that little particle, dust particle, and then what happened, that dust particle that he touched with gravity, it brought in all the other dust particles. And eventually, that's how this planet was spinning. And as it was spinning and rolling, it picked up all these dust particles. And then I saw it when I drove through Colorado, right through that canyon. I looked on the side of the mountain there, and there was these layers of formation. Some of them were yellow color, some of them were brown color, but formation after formation. And the Lord was speaking to me. He was showing me how he created the universe, how he created this planet. It took millions and billions of years, but to put this thing in motion, and there was this planet. And then eventually there he had to create the sun, and he had to, all these things he created with one thing in mind, to bring us exactly where we are today. But see, that's what we're trying to show people. These mountains and these canyons, they were put there, like I keep saying, at the first era, there was only a planet one-third the size. And as time went on, he had to test these angels that he created back before time began. And then he gave them an emerald kingdom, and then he began to test it. And there are some of them, they had free moral agency, just like you and I. We're free to do whatever. We're free to serve the devil, and we're free to be about the Lord's business. And we decided one day, you decided one day, you don't want to go down that marriage path. You want to see what the Lord Jesus has for you. And then you had a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And I had a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. I knew that whole right thing wasn't just a pile of garbage. It was the Satanist that had that. And I see the corruption in it. And I began to look at the fruits of it all. And I did. And the Lord moved them in to step up to the plate and expose that thing. And then when you do that, you know, then the true colors come out. They did not want truth. And by doing that, it proved to me that utterance is not of God. If it would be of God, they would have done what you and I did. We embrace the truth with a passion. I told them back in the day, I said, that utterance thing is not of God. I said, your baptism is of the devil. And so I told them God sent the prophet. But, you know, if they would be Christians, if they would believe, they would absorb it just like you and I. We can only put it out there for whosoever will. And it's the same thing today. We just put this program here. It's for whosoever is concerned about their eternal destiny. And for those that really want to spend eternity with their family members and with their children, you're going to have a glorious time throughout eternity with them. If you can only do what the Lord wants you to do, it's just that simple. We're trying our best to just put a program out that the Lord has given us to put out there. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Like, it's such a beautiful picture. Like, the earth is alive. Like, we went down to the States somewhere, and we went, and there was a cave in the earth, and it looks like it was like almost like it's a set of lungs, you know, how the earth breathes and everything, how the earth refines itself. Like, that's where the oil comes from. Like a purification process is happening in the earth, you know, where all the impurities are, and the oil, that's where the impurities are found, in the oil. And then they refine it, and then God allows the human family to make energy out of it. And that's just how God, back in that great council, and Paul writes about it in Ephesians 1, how he, this great God, he, before he was even called God, he was just a spirit filling all time and like and space, and he was filling everything because he is God. Like he is that eternal spirit, and before anything was, he was there. He has no beginning, he has no end. He's that eternal spirit, and he wanted a family, and he wanted someone to share all his attributes with and all of his glory. And then he sat down. He didn't literally sit down, it's just a figure of speech. He had a council, and he counseled with himself what he's going to do and what he's going to create in order for all of his attributes to be on display and for us to get to know who he really is. And that's has been our desire, to get to know this great sovereign God and all his creation and all his wonderful ways, Lord. And you can just envision how those angels in heaven, like how they 24/7 they say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That's who he is. He's holy and worthy to be praised because he's given us life. He's given us an ability to, to be alive and to praise him, to glorify him. And that's such a great gift, especially if you can, if you want to live for him and to bring glory to his great name. And that's what Jesus did. He brought glory to his name, that he was able to go to Calvary, and then God was able to express all of those redemptive characteristics of his to us, Lord, and to get to know him, you know. And that's just so glorious, you know, and so wonderful to be able to get to know this great God and all of his ways, and then eventually spend eternity with him, because there is no end in him. There is life, and he'll give you life eternal. And then you think about these religions out there, and they're in their religion is death, you know, compared to get to know this great eternal spirit, Lord, and just be able to live for him and to bring glory to his name. That's there's no greater gift than that.
Like you were saying about that oil. See, we listen to the news media, they tell you that oil comes from the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense, because this planet is so engineered that it automatically cleans itself. All the waste, it goes into the ocean, but the ocean never gets filled. What happens underneath? There's cavities, and there's that water in the ocean is full of purity. And what happens down in these mountain ranges, there's tremendous pressure. It's like a giant refinery. It's automatically, it refines that water, separates that oil from the water. And that oil comes from this constant refinery that's going on underneath these mountain ranges. There's tremendous pressure, up to 6,000 pounds pressure, because when they drill down there, the steam is so intense that you can actually run you can actually make electricity with that,
right,
with that pressure. A few years back, they had they're digging for oil down at the Gulf of Mexico, or whatever, they call it the Gulf of America, whatever. But anyway, the pressure was so intense that somehow the pipe busted, and for days it kept spewing oil out, because underneath there's a giant refinery, and if they don't pump it out, then it would ooze out, like up at the up at Fort McMurray. If you don't pump that oil out, then it would just ooze out, because the pressure is so intense under there. That's why they keep pumping oil out. They talk about that oil will be depleted. That oil will never be depleted, because the way the planet is shaped and everything, it's just refinery. And the more waste there is, the more oil there is. And it, see, the Lord has given us that, because in the Bible there's these hidden nuggets. It's a hidden gold mine. And if you're sensitive to the Lord, he will lead you. One day he just let me turn the mouth and he allowed me to see how he created this planet. And then I did the oil study, and I was up at Fort McMurray. Up there, the oil oozes out of the ground. And because if they don't pump it out, it'll ooze out everywhere. But that's why they keep pumping that oil out of the ground in a certain place around the mountain range. You could tell that around Alberta, Saskatchewan, during the foothills of the mountain, because underneath that mountain range, underneath these mountains, there's tremendous, but it's like a giant refinery under there, and you'll never pump it dry because it just keeps going, and more polluted there is, the more oil it is. There's no such a thing. It comes from these dinosaurs and all that garbage. What the devil is trying to tell the people. See, the devil doesn't want people to know, and the devil knows that you and I are on to him, and it's what he's doing 24/7. He's on our case, trying to make you and I relevant, trying to tell people this is a Shekinah program, and he's got people that we associate with. They can't wait to stab us in the back and tell a bunch of lies about it, and because the devil knows that you and I got it, and he does not want the people to find out that this is where it's at, because all we're doing, for all we're saying, the church ain't the latest here. There's only one thing left, and the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall be sound, he's doing all his work. There's only one thing that's worth listening to, and that is the voice of the church ain't the latest here. And that's all the mission that the Lord gave you, and to hold on to the fort, to let people know this is where it's at. And like I say, the devil knows that we got the goods, but he tries to make us irrelevant, and then he uses your children and your family to make sure they're working against you and all that stuff. But see, we're doing about the Lord business. We don't worry about what happens here and there. At the end of the day is what counts. At the end of the day, God's going to see to it that you haven't expected it. I cannot describe to you the joy that we felt when your mom passed away, then your dad, and then when my brother John, everybody knows my brother John, all his life I've been trying to witness him, and he's trying to downgrade me and everything, but at the end of the day, it's what counts. At the end of the day, when we heard he had a heart attack, we had a rejoicing time here, because I know I'm going to spend eternity with my brother John up in heaven, because we're doing our part. We said it over and over again. If you will believe, you and your whole household will somehow make it in there, just like. But there's examples after example, and the Bible, we keep saying it over and over again. When he talked to that jailer, when Peter talked to that, Paul talked to that jailer, and then said, if you can get yourself to believe, you and your whole household will be saved. He didn't even know that they had family members, but see, the Bible says, and then he talked to that Ethiopian. When he went back to Ethiopia, he said, if you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. Just that simple. It's like Rahab. They told Rahab, bring your whole family in here. Regardless what they wear, regardless who they are, just bring it in here. We're going to see to it that she gets saved. And the same thing with all throughout the Bible, there's examples. Mm-hmm. If you do your part, like we're doing 24/7, we're trying to do our level best. We're trying our level best to be obedient to the Lord. We're putting this program out there, whosoever will, because it's the only thing left here in this closing day of the time. The invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You and I have done more for the human race here in this closing day of the time than any human being, than every king or potentate has done at this hour that we're now living, because we have given them an escape route out of this hell that's coming, this tribulation, the day of the Lord. We've given them an exit route to accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's all we're about, and whether people want it or not, it's their prayer. That's up to them. If they don't have a hunger and a thirst, and they're not concerned about their family member, then it'll just go like the sun over a blind man. A blind man doesn't recognize if there's sunlight or daylight. Everything is dark, and that's how people are to them. They have no hunger, they have no desire to know, so they're just like a piece of driftwood. They just drift down the road alive, and nothing attracts them, nothing scares them. But there's people that have a concern over their eternal destiny and over the eternal destiny of their children. Just that simple. That's all we're doing. We're just doing whatever the Lord wants us to do. At the end of the day, what's called. Just that simple. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and we just want to let people know your greatness, Lord, and before even time began, before the eons of time, Lord, that you had this great counsel and you wanted to share yourself with a family, and you created the angelic family, and then you created the human family, and you sent the Redeemer because of that sin that happened in the garden, and you had his all counseled out way before time began, Lord, and it's a beautiful picture. All of your creation and all of your attributes, and we see all of creation is groaning and travailing, Lord, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, and all things around the world is just moaning and groaning. It's such a time to live in, but we know that there is a glorious future ahead in the millennium, where you're going to set all things in motion for that great redemption program of all of your creation, and all will bring glory to you. It says in your word that the knowledge of the glory of your glory will cover the earth just as the waters cover the seas. And we just give you thanks for all that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.